My name is Ron, and we are doing our last mountain. So today we're talking about Mount Zion. If you got notes, I've got some blanks that you can fill in. I've got a ton of scripture. I'm not going to read it all to you. Don't get scared about that. But we are going to really work through some things. It's the big topic that I want to walk through with you today that I've been thinking about as well. I've probably been, many of you know this, to the Holy Land, to Israel, you know, 50 times. And probably about, I'd say 40 of those, I have a rhythm that I do, whether I'm by myself, which is sometimes, with a team, which is most of the time, or with others. I get off the plane at Ben Gurion, I go get the rental car, van, whatever I got, and I drive up Highway 1 towards Jerusalem, and I immediately, now some of you would think that I'd go to a restaurant first, which if it's the right time of the day, that might be the case, because I have my favorite things there. But I'll pull into a little town called Abu Ghosh. It's what some believe is the town of Emmaus from the Gospels, where two men met Jesus. And I'll pull off there, and I'll work my way through town. I'll recognize and see some of my favorite spots, and there's a golden Elvis there that I'll just leave that with you right there that you wouldn't believe is in Israel. It's a really crazy thing. And I'll make my way through town and up to a place that you would assume, if I brought a team, is going to be this incredibly beautiful spot. And it's actually a worn out, well, the picture's up there already, and I'll explain this in just a minute, but I get there, and I go to this overlook, and we overlook, this is in Abu Ghosh at the overlook, and in the distance, I can tell, it looks like it's almost smoke to me, but it's Highway 1 where they did some construction at the time of the picture, and I'm not the greatest photographer, you can tell, so, but in the distance, in the middle of the picture, you can see almost like a haze, a dark kind of above the hills there, the trees, way in the distance, 7 miles, and it's the city of Jerusalem. Now, if you're there and it's clear, you can see various things that are easily they're able to point out in Jerusalem there. And one of the things that I imagine, because you can kind of tell, we're up on a hill, you can kind of tell that you would make your way 7 miles like pilgrims would for thousands of years and make their pilgrimage their way to Jerusalem. And we would read, and I'm going to read some portions in a minute. You can then go to the next picture, Kayla, and you would see when we got up there, the city of Jerusalem. This is from one of my favorite places to eat. I won't explain it, but I'm at the top of the building. You can see the Dome of the Rock. You can see the Mount of Olives. You can see where Jesus prayed. You can see, and what you're looking at is the old city from above. And when we were back in Abu Ghosh, we would read Psalm 84. And I would walk through with you this idea of contemplating God and his kingdom. And we'd ask that as we enter into this time over the next 10 days, that we would be confronted with the reality of who he is, and who we are in him, and that we would respond to the invitation to go, you could say, on pilgrimage with him, on a journey. This, when I go, always feels to me like I am on a modern day pilgrimage, this journey, in this case, to Mount Zion, this place where we would have this description of God. And it would echo something ancient for me. Like I would just dream and think about the Psalms of Ascent that all the pilgrims would read as they would travel up to Jerusalem. And they would do that for thousands of years. Now God's people have always longed to, you could say it this way, go up to Zion. Why? Because in scripture, in a specific one today, and what we have looked at over the past weeks, mountains are often described, you've maybe heard this before, I know I've shared it, Brent probably has, and others, they're described as thin places. So often when we come to them, and we've talked about some, they are places where heaven and earth seem to touch, where God reveals to his people who he is. Think like Moses, Elijah, and many others. reveals what he does. It's a place of his presence, his power, and his purposes. We discover at those times too, when we meet with God, who we are in him and how he feels about us. So this was Elijah when I spoke a couple weeks ago. This was Brent talking about the transfiguration and on that mount at one time. And we learn what he desires for us. Now, when we talk about Mount Zion, which this you're looking at, it is described in various ways. You can go back to that picture just for a minute. This is a place where we would call the mountain of Yahweh. This whole thing, Jerusalem, is on a hill. That's often, Mount Zion is the city of Jerusalem described as. Sometimes you can see the golden dome and you can't really tell. I mean, I can, but if you're familiar with it, maybe you can. The Temple Mount, where God, we believe, dwelled, at least Old Testament and into the New. But Zion is more than a location. So here's where I want to pull it for us today. It's more than a location. It points to a spiritual reality for us, a place of God's reign, his presence, his promises. And like the pilgrims who longed for God and longed to go up to God, I believe that humanity has that same cry and call today. Maybe not everyone, but it seems like inside the hearts of people, there is a longing for something greater and more. Like even when people can't put words to it, they're searching. They're aching for something deep in their soul and heart. They're longing for something, it's a weird word to say, but transcendent. Something, what does that mean? Above themselves. Like there's gotta be, like maybe you say it this way, there's gotta be more than this. This cannot be it. People long for that. So when we read in Psalm 84, 1 and 2, and again, there's a bunch in your notes. It's on the screen now. In Psalm 84, 1 and 2, we find that it says, how lovely, and we're reading this, imagine on Abu Ghosh and you see 7 miles away, or when we get into Jerusalem, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of armies. And then the psalmist writes, I long and I yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The psalmist here in 84 and many other places, and humanity for that matter, brings up a great tension though, if we continue on in the Psalms. A tension we experience today. Here's Psalm 15:1 and then 24:3 that bring up these types of things. All right then, look at what the psalmist says. Well, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Like if we have this longing, then the psalmist says, well, who can go up to God? Who can ascend, some translations will say, the mountain? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill, Lord? Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? And who may stand on in his holy place? And the answer, the psalmist writes, the next verses in 15 and 24, listen to this. Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. And then 24:4, the psalmist says, only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. And my answer then would be, I'm out. It's great, huh? Great, Ron. What are you going to do? Like beat us down now and say we got to get pure and holy? And maybe there is a part of that that I will come to. But here's my tension. The difficulty. Who measures up to that? Who's blameless in here? Don't raise your hand. Or you can, I guess. Who has a pure heart? Who has a spotless record? No one. The mountain is holy, the standard is perfect, and we know that we are not. Not a great start to a sermon, huh? And yet, man, Scripture does not leave us hanging or outside the gates, we'll read in a minute. It keeps calling us back to Psalm 84, 5 through 7. I read this and I just dream. I can imagine the whole thing right now when the psalmist says, "Happy are the people whose strength is in you, God, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, a journey. As they pass through the valley of Baca, which is weeping, some translations will say, they make it a source of spring water. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. And they go from strength to strength, and each appears before God in," there it is, Zion, on his holy mountain. And that's God's invitation to us, to me, to you. Not to climb in my own righteousness, but to set my heart on pilgrimage, a journey, to long for God, to find strength in him, to walk towards Zion. And I like it. It's like in stages. I'm working through Exodus and we see this like in them in the wilderness. They went by stages, and so did others in Scripture. We go from strength to strength as we travel together toward Zion, toward God, with trust and dependence. So how do we respond? I put four things in your notes that are some big ideas about Mount Zion, the holy place of God, the mountain of God, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, all of this. But for us, the spiritual reality of God's presence and power, relationship, four things, and then maybe just a little thought with each one to get us, man, moving forward together in all the things that he is inviting us to. So what are some steps on the journey? Well, number one of the things that we see about Mount Zion is it is a place of God's presence. Zion is not first about politics or geography. And man, politics, look at the news today. Israel's been in the news and the Temple Mount and on for a couple years and always has been. I've been there plenty of times during war and peace, or at least perceived peace. I've been all around the country, visited all sorts of places, and there is a lot of politics and there is a lot of incredible history and geography, but really when we talk about Zion, we are talking about this idea that we are about the presence of God. It is about the presence of God, a place of provision, a place of protection, a place of, again, presence and God's power that all culminate together that we are called and invited to join God in. David wrote in the wilderness, in Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3, he would say, "O God, you are my God. Here's the longing. I search for you." And he would say, "In the wilderness, my soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this," here it is, "parched and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you." Here's the Zion part. David says, he's in the wilderness hiding, and he says, "I've seen you in your sanctuary, God, on your holy mountain, and I have gazed upon your power and glory and your unfailing love. It's better than life itself. How I praise you." You don't have it up here. If you have your Bible open to it, you'll see. And he just continues on to say, "You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I lie awake thinking of you. I meditate on you through the night because you're my helper, God. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings." There's something beautiful there when he's in En Gedi, hiding in the hills from Saul and the army that's chasing him. And he says, "I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely." There's something about knowing the presence of God in the wilderness place that he is at that we have for today. For when we speak of Mount Zion, we're not going to a place, we're experiencing God's presence in our brokenness and sadness, in our wilderness times. There are moments my heart longs for him so much that even at night, in some of my anxiety or brokenness or hurt or whatever, Lord, I cry out to you. I long for you. I don't have to travel to Israel. You have declared that you are present with me, and we'll come to a place where we get that even a little more. And I long for you, God. Mount Zion reminds us that God's presence is not just an idea. It is a source of life. It's often described as living water. Life itself flows from Zion. Now, Scripture paints this picture. This is a big part. You can go read these later on. They're in your notes. But just for example, Ezekiel 47, prophetic picture of one day, it says on the temple, there's the throne of God. And Ezekiel, this prophet, says, I saw water coming from the throne, and it would flow through the valleys down to the Dead Sea, which I have floated in many times. Nothing can live in it because it's dead. You can float, but you can't drink it. And it says one day from the throne, Mount Zion, living water will come, and it will go into the Dead Sea and take something that is dead and bring it to life. It says there'll even be fish there. Like we talk about when we go to the Dead Sea, there is a company that was, I don't know if they still are, they were selling fishing licenses for the Dead Sea. Like one day, I mean, it's marketing, biblical marketing, but no, I didn't buy one, but I'm tempted. And he says, when that water flows, it'll bring life. It'll create fresh water. Healing will abound. Where God's presence flows, dead things come to life. Barren things become fruitful. Ah, it's God in your life. When we talk about making pilgrimage to Mount Zion, we are talking about going to God, ascending to him, and receiving all that he has for us. And some of you in this room, the testimony that you have is how God, through his heat, the source of life, came into your life and brought healing, change, transformation because of him. Jesus talks about it on the Temple Mount when he says in John 7, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. In Revelation 22, the new Jerusalem, the new temple, the new mountain of God that is created says that a crystal clear river flows from the throne of God and the Lamb, with the tree of life on each side bearing fruit and leaves for healing. Mount Zion reminds us the source is God himself, his presence, his spirit, his son. He brings life, refreshment, and healing to our lives. Our call is simple but vital. Thirst for him. Come to him, drink deeply of his living water wherever you are at in life, whatever you are going through. We see this in all of Scripture. From Genesis, the Genesis garden, to Jesus' promises, to our revelation hope of one day being with him in eternity, God himself is our source of life. So the question might be, who do you run to? Who do you make pilgrimage to, journey to, when you feel unstable, like things are falling apart? Who do you run to? What do you run to? What do you make your way to? Is it success, money, people, control, relationships? Zion says God himself is our refuge and our source of life. Run to him, drink deeply from his living water. In your notes, it simply says, seek God as your life-giving source, for I believe that only he satisfies. So when we talk about making pilgrimage to God, we often find ourselves journeying to something or someone else to find our source, our healing, our help. And my thing is, go to God first. Number two, Mount Zion is also a place, this is the tough one for me, because every mountain that I did, I think I picked out something that I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't a very fun mountain. I thought all mountains were supposed to be these great encounters with God. And Moses died on one and didn't get to go in the promised land. And Elijah went and hid in the cave, right? And was depressed and discouraged. God had to keep calling him out. Because often Mount Zion is a place of crisis and decision. Psalm 48, 9 through 14. There are many places. This is one of them that I wanted to point out. This one stuck with me. Psalm 48, 9 through 14. God, within your temple, this is the word I wanted to focus on, contemplate your faithful love. Go, this is interesting, go around Zion, encircle it, count its towers, note its ramparts, tour its citadels. I've done that before, around Mount Zion, Jerusalem today. Why? This is so awesome to me, so that you can tell a future generation, this God, our God forever and ever, He will always lead us. In this room right now, one of the things I'm praying about is the next generation of people, all young people. I'm 61, so 60 and under, I'll consider you young, all right? But man, those of you in your 20s and 30s, man, I want you to understand who God is. I want you to know that this God, our God forever and ever, He will always lead us. He will lead you. I want you to consider when it says go to Zion, go to the temple, walk around, look what's there. There's an element of, don't think of just like the city, a temple, a building. Think of God. I want you, man, you teenagers and you young people and all of us, don't get me wrong, I want you to consider the great God that we serve. Don't just listen to somebody, receive it, and then go out and 10 years later, you turn on God because you just had a faith of your family or your parents. Do it for yourself. Man, look at Him, discover Him, know Him, walk and journey with Him and with one another, with us. Let Him lead you. But understand that some of these places will be points of crisis and decision. So many people come up on the mountain to God and just want to feel good and have everything pretty and nice and not face the crisis that God invites them to then make a decision to follow Him or trust Him or surrender all to Him. Throughout Scripture, mountains are not just peaceful. They are places of confrontation and contemplation, surrender and sacrifice, places of crisis that lead to a decision. Think about this, Mount Moriah, we talked about Abraham sacrificing his son or potentially Isaac. This is a mountaintop experience, but it came with sacrifice and then surrender. Think of David multiple times. One minute he is confronted on Mount Zion by the prophet for the great sin that he committed. And the next minute he's bringing the ark back and doing sacrifices on Mount Zion to God to give Him glory. All of us, young people and all, it comes with both. There are moments when we surrender our life to God, but we are confronted with our sin that we are dealing with so that God can bring what we just said, His presence and healing into our lives. Not shame and worse. And then there's other moments when we're not dealing with that, at least at the moment, and we just come to Him and we give Him glory. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for transforming my life. This is David. This is the prophets calling constantly. This was Elijah calling people to a decision. Serve the God who answers. Zion is where God speaks, confronts us, and invites us to decisions of submission, sacrifice, surrender of our will, our idols, our futures, and helps us make or encourage us or invites us to make choices to trust Him completely. Think about this. Think about the Gospels with Jesus and the young rich ruler. It is on His way to Mount Zion, so on that journey, where a rich man comes and says to Jesus, basically, just it's found in the Gospels, and in this case, Mark chapter 10. And this man comes to Jesus. He must recognize something about Him, and he says, "Tell me how to have eternal life. I want to know. I want to know the next step." And Jesus comes to him, and it's a confrontational point. This is a point of crisis where a decision will be made. And Jesus says, keep all the commandments, and he lists some of them. And the guy says, did it, done it, done that one, did that one perfectly, nailed that. Oh, I am awesome at that one. You know what's interesting too? Jesus actually recognizes that. In Mark 10, it says something like Jesus looked at him and loved him. I love your heart, young man. I love that. So the guy goes, I've done them all. What else? Jesus, which is where he was going to in the first place, because he's got to get in crisis to the heart and truth of who we really are and this beautiful life that he has for us. But it can come with suffering, struggle, confrontation, but it's worth it. Doesn't mean it's easy. And Jesus tells him, okay, there's one more thing. Just one more thing. Ooh. Sell everything you have. And here's the key. Don't just sell everything and what? Follow me. On the mountain, on the pilgrimage, on the journey. You've done it all. You're nailing it. All right. Let me get to the heart of really what's going on. Sell all you have. And this is not a call that you have to sell it all. You have specific things where God needs to encounter you, and so do I. Sell it all and follow me. And the guy couldn't do it. He walked away. Maybe you're in a mountain moment or something on the journey right now, a crisis inviting you to a choice, and I wonder if you will cling to your own way or surrender to God's. If you would lay your idols down, your future, your will on the altar and trust God completely. And so the idea is, in number two, surrender your crisis to God. What crisis are you going through right now that is bringing turmoil, but you have this longing in your heart because you love God? And you're like some who just lay there at times and go, there has to be more than this. This can't be it, and the enemy wants you to just give up and give in. But there is a deep longing in your heart and soul that says, man, I want more. Surrender your crisis to God. Is this something you're going through? Is this some struggle you're experiencing? Is it a brokenness with someone? Right? Who knows? Number three, Mount Zion is also a place of pilgrimage. We've talked about that. When you start to understand these things, because I would ask you to do this, before you just want to jump on board. It's like, you could say this, if you come to me, because my plan is in 26 to take a team to Israel again. It's been a couple years. Probably go myself, check on our partners, and then take a team. So I would want you to talk to me before. And I would try to, most likely, some of you have gone with me, I will try to discourage you from going. Because one, I will tell you, do you want to ride in a van for like 10 days trapped with me? Because on these trips, all of our, yours and mine, all of our dysfunction comes out. We push each other to the brink of fist fighting. Oh, we will eat good food. We will see everything in the Bible, but there will be moments where you're just sick of me. I think before you truly accept the invitation of God, his love and grace, you should probably consider what he's inviting you to. Because if you think that this pilgrimage that we go on, this journey together, is gonna be all pretty smelling and roses and fluffy stuff and all that, I'd say you might want to reevaluate. But I would say that if you have a longing in your soul for something more, if you desire something greater, there is a call of God in your life, then the invitation is to go on a journey with him and a group of people. For God's people long to go up to Zion. The journey is not easy. It was, if you could imagine that picture, uphill, costly, demanding, but I'm gonna tell you what, for me, it is worth it. Because at the end was the joy of worship in God's presence. Psalm 84, again, happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a source. They then, see what happens? When you're experiencing those things, it almost says they make it a source of spring water. I find blessing, then I find blessing, then it's hard. And you just naturally, it's gonna come that way with God, but it's hard. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. Zion is not a single step. It is a journey in stages. Pilgrims would, if you want to read some beautiful Psalms, if you're just kind of thinking about a journey with God, read Psalms 120 through 134, the Psalms of Ascent. And even today, people read them as they travel to Jerusalem or in Jerusalem. When I was a youth pastor out in Jacksonville, I thought it would be awesome to take a group of kids, of students, and climb Mount McLaughlin. It was horrible.
After you leave the tree line.
Yeah, it's horrible. I think, you know, like, I didn't know there was that many mosquitoes on the earth before we passed that certain level. Luckily, one of the kids that I was shocked he even went, he was the only one. He brought what looked to be like a 100-year-old can. It was a humongous can of mosquito bug spray that probably was not safe. We weren't even halfway up, and one of the girls that I know today still, she's not here. I'm not even going to say her name because I don't want you saying something to her, if she even remembers. Man, she was going to quit and give up. And I remember myself, Nick, one of the elders now, went with me. And I remember just getting in her face, forgive me, but just telling her, you are going up this freaking mountain. Like, not a good youth pastor moment. Okay? It's the voice of Satan speaking to you. You get up there. You know, it's like, going to take us hours. And I'll be really honest with you. Have anybody climbed Mount McLaughlin? Don't take this wrong, it ain't that great up there. There's no snack bar. There's no bathroom. And there's other people up there that kind of ruin it. So I couldn't even get up there and go, man, see? Wasn't this awesome? And they're like, can we just go now? And you're like, I've never done it again. Pilgrimage takes resolve, resiliency, flexibility, and being resolute. In Luke 9:51, Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, it says, it's a beautiful verse for me. I often read it to myself, think about it. It says, as the time drew near for him, this is interesting, to ascend to heaven. Ooh. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew what was coming. He was going to die, be buried, rise, and go to heaven. But that needed some resolution. I know what's coming. I'm going. This is an interesting thing, too. In Psalm 133, I want to add this to this piece. We also learn that pilgrimage is not just personal, but it's communal. Psalm 133. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers, sisters live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony, unity, is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon. This is interesting. That falls, Mount Hermon's in the north. I've been up there as well. It falls on the mountains of Zion. And then there, it says, the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. The road to Zion, when we say in our hearts, we long to be with God, it seems that that journey, that pilgrimage, pulls God's people together. Pilgrimage builds unity because the closer we walk with God, the closer we walk with one another. Every step of obedience, every act of perseverance, every season of waiting brings us closer to the heart of God and closer to one another. I found this at Man Camp a couple weeks ago. I see it in our small group experiences and other things that we do together outside of Sunday morning. Shapes us into becoming more like him as we do this together. That's why every fourth Tuesday, 6:30 to 7:30, a group of us will gather to pray for the new building that we don't know where it's at yet. We have through May, if you didn't hear last week. That's why, starting the end of this month, the last Tuesday of September, David and I and a group of people already will do a part of practicing the way about community. We want to journey together. We want to be shaped by Jesus, to be with him, to learn what that means, to be like him and to do what he did. So you can sign up for that if you want to journey together, join a small group, or come pray with us every fourth Tuesday. The question might be, like Jesus or other things that we learn, what or who is your heart set on? Zion or something or someone else? What direction is your life pointed? The joy of God, the joy of Zion, is worth the climb. Don't wander aimlessly. Fix your life in the direction of God. Walk step by step in obedience and perseverance and do it together with God's people. There's always going to be valleys. We know that. So, in your notes, set your heart on the journey. It's going to take some resilience, some flexibility, some perseverance, and doing it together is awesome. The last thing is this: Mount Zion is a place of promises fulfilled in Jesus. The greatest ascent is not ours, it's God's coming to us in Jesus. We could not climb high enough, hard enough, strive for it. We see this. We are often the rich young ruler who is invited to follow Jesus but may have to give up certain things. So God, this is so awesome to me. So what happened? God came down. It's interesting. Jesus descended so that we could ascend with him. I love that. Jesus descended to earth on a pilgrimage as God. He showed us how to live in the Gospels and how to love and how to work this relationship with God out and how it all plays out. And he made his way up, remember Luke 9:51, to Mount Calvary to die for our sin. He was raised from the dead in victory. And now he is inviting us on a transformational walk to ascend with him and be present with God, because we cannot do that on our own. 1 Peter 2:1-6. I thought it was really beautiful. I wanted to read to you the whole six verses. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies crave, here's that craving, that longing, right, of God, spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment to God. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. Mount Zion, there you go. He was rejected by people, but chosen by God for great honor. And guess what? You're living stones now that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus, you can now offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And as the scriptures say, here's Mount Zion again, I'm placing a cornerstone in Zion, chosen for great honor. And anyone who trusts in him, Jesus, will never be disgraced. You can read it later on, but let me read just part of it to you from Hebrews 12. You've come, he says, the writer does, to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and his people, and sprinkled with sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness. I wonder if you have opened the gates of your heart to the King of Glory. It's not about our climb. We encourage that, but it's about his, to welcome him as Savior and Lord. The worship team can come. So back to Psalm 24. who may ascend? Who may climb this mountain? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies, they will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Who can measure up? No one can. It's why we need Jesus. I love the ending of Psalm 24. Open up ancient gates. Open up ancient doors. And let the King of Glory enter. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord, strong, mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Open wide the gates of your life, your heart, so that the King of Glory, Jesus Christ, may come in and reign in your life. Open up your home, our church, to him. And the answer in your notes, that last thing, is stand firm in the King of Glory. Welcome him into your life. Stand upon the rock, this cornerstone Jesus, of who he is and what he's done. You can stand with me. Maybe even imagine that. Today I stand on you, Jesus, as I make pilgrimage to God. I long for you, but I know in my own striving, I cannot get there. I need you, Jesus. This climb is about you, Jesus, the invitation to your grace and love, your living water, your new life. Father, today, if there is anyone here that does not know you, some have tried to make a journey, a pilgrimage to God, but they've done it in their own strength. They thought, like the rich young ruler, that keeping all the rules would get them to this place of satisfaction and success. But reality is you're asking for something much more and deeper. You're asking to give up the things that we hold on to as idols or our own striving or our own success. And you're asking us to give that up for your glory and then embracing who you are and what you've done for our sin. And inviting you in, we open up our gates today, and they do, if that's them. And we just invite you into our lives to take over, and we surrender all to you, and we declare that we will follow you on this pilgrimage. This longing in my soul has never been filled, has never had any success to it apart from you, Jesus. But the moment I gave my life to you, even in my deep brokenness and anxiety and depression and struggle and sin, at times it's so wonderful to come back to you, Jesus, and what you have done. So we do that today. Wherever somebody is at, we just surrender to you. We stand firm upon the King of Glory. We open up our lives, we welcome you in, and we stand upon you, our rock, the cornerstone of salvation, of life, our source. In Jesus' name, amen.